Today, we're actually doing a very different topic than I've ever done before, okay? It's not very typical for Wake Up With WFAB because we typically talk about mindset, but I just thought, I was reading this book and I was like, okay, what should I talk about? Because typically I, you know, will go from the books that I'm reading or the things that I'm watching or consuming. And I've been reading this book, and this book is more about debt, right? It's about debt because I have some people, you know, that I'm friends with. I have people on my team that are in debt that I want to help. And I have a few people like that. And I've been on a mission to figure out how to help them. Right. So I started reading up on this book because I heard of this book. I actually had it randomly downloaded because I searched for Kevin Trudeau when I was on my Kevin Trudeau fiend. If you guys remember, there was a time when the first Kevin Trudeau podcast, we were talking about it all the time, which I love his podcast. The one that's on podcast, that one was really good. I listened to it probably like 7 or 8 times, maybe more. I still listen to it from time to time, but I love Kevin Trudeau. I love what he stands for. I love the lessons that he teaches. And so I was naturally looking for some of his books. And he has 2 books. He has Debt Cures, and he's like Natural Cures that are very famous, right? Natural Cures is all about natural ways to cure things in the body, including weight loss and other things as well. But I think the focus was on like being healthy and weight loss. And then Debt Cures is obviously on debt. If you guys don't know who Kevin Trudeau is, I first found him on that podcast. And he is a man that was a part of the Masons, the Brotherhood, which is a secret society. Okay, he was part of the Brotherhood. He achieved extreme levels of success. He was very wealthy. And then he decided to be a whistleblower. He decided that the information that was shared in these societies should be shared with the general public. And that a lot of people would benefit from this information. So he started sharing all of that, and all of these things that he started doing, sharing natural remedies and all these things, he actually wound up in jail for 10 years. Some believe that it's righteous, and some believe that he was just convicted, like to get him out of the public, right? To kind of mute him down. And he says there's also been an attempt on his life. Now, I don't know to what degree. I haven't researched that deep. To me, the things that he says, I just resonate with. And I think they're draping a whistleblower right now. I think they're very powerful lessons. I think he's a very intelligent man. I think there's a lot to learn from him. So it relates to me. And I love the lessons that he teaches. So anyways, this book is all about debt, right? And I started reading it because I had this feeling, like I just felt like there was people in my life that were in debt that like I really wanted to help, but I didn't know exactly how. I didn't know exactly how to solve that problem. So I was like on a few calls, like thinking, okay, what, we could do this, we could do that, like supporting them, guiding them in different ways. And then I went on my Audible like a few days later to find a book to read. And I saw this book. I had already bought it with some of my credits. I do that. I have like 10 books that I never even read that are just like on there, right? Because I'll forget like down the line when I actually want to read it. And I started reading it, okay? And it is so good. Like I just found the information to be so interesting. Things that I never knew before. It is more American based, which I am Canadian. But most of the people that I'm trying to help are in both. So yeah, it's like, it is more American based, but it's still like very, very amazing lessons. And I'm sure some of the information can be like used in other places. I've also seen like on YouTube now reviews from people that have read the book and applied the principles and saw a decrease in their debt, or saw, you know, situations with their debt getting paid down faster, or their debt being, consolidated and being less. So one of the people had that I've been talking to had debt of like, I think it was like 40 or 50 grand or 60 grand or something like that. And they consolidated it down to 20 grand. And they're basically paying that off, which is way more manageable than 40, 50 grand. I don't remember the exact numbers, but I just remember it was consolidated. That wasn't because of the book, but that was another thing that inspired me. Okay, there was one solution. Okay, let me go look for more solutions so I can help these people, right? Because I just feel like And again, hopefully this is not triggering to any of you, but there's a lot of people in debt. Like, you, a lot of people on this call are probably in debt. I'm not telling you to admit it or talk about it. You don't have to, but I'm just self-reflect. A lot of people are in debt, and you're not the only one if you are in debt, right? Kevin Trudeau says it's the American way. Yeah, the book is called Debt Cures. Yes. He says it's the American way. And as a nation, Americans are carrying a balance of consumers' debt that's around $2.4 trillion. That's not including home mortgages, guys. That's just consumer debt. That's just credit cards, line of credits, whatever, not home mortgages. $2.4 trillion in debt, right? Which equates to about $8,000 of debt for every man, woman, and child living in the United States. This is at the time that the book was written, which I don't know when it was written. I'm assuming in the last 10 years, right? That equates to $8,000 of debt for every man, woman, child living in the United States. So technically, if you divide it equally, every single person should have debt of $8,000. Now, obviously, some have more and others have less, right? And others have none. But that just goes to show you that a lot of people have debt. It's extremely common. So if you're somebody who's in that situation, just to remind you that, like, it's an extremely common thing. And I think this book will not only give you things that you can do to help, but it will also relieve you of some of maybe that anxiety that's attached to it. Because the thing about the system that we're in, and this call is going to be more like educational, but I just think it's so empowering for everybody to know, because every single one of you guys uses a credit card, right? Or majority, right? Every single one of you guys knows people that uses credit cards, and whatever wealth level you're at, it's important for you to know how the system works so that you can protect yourself if you don't have debt, or you can be proactive if you do have debt, right? You can offer support to other people, right? Especially if you're a leader and a mentor. So that's how I see it. That's why I started learning about it, because I just really wanted to be a better mentor in that aspect. So the system that we have here, right, is literally designed to keep you in debt, to keep you a slave that is paying these minimum payments every single month for the rest of your life, right? And Kevin Trudeau talks about in the book how his opinion on the credit card industry and their practices is that it's literally a criminal practice, and he thinks that it should be illegal. That's how bad he thinks it is, right? Because the credit card companies are taking advantage of the average American citizen. But for those of you that live in the States, I'm sure it's similar in Canada too, but in the States, it's worse, okay? For those of you that live in the States, how many, and drop some ones in the chat, if you've gotten a lot of letters to your home offering you a credit card, right? Of any sorts of credit cards, right? Like, drop some ones in the chat if you got that. Like, they send you mail to your home where they're offering you these credit cards, right? These mailers where they're telling you, oh, you can open up this card, you can open up this card. They're giving you basically credit card offers. And yeah, someone said every other day, the amount of emails as well, right? That it's extremely common, especially in America, right? And they said in the book, I don't remember the exact number, but they said in the book there was something around the billions of mailers sent out every single year of these promotions for credit card, or these credit cards that you can sign up for, literally billions, right, of sent out every single year. And you know damn well not everybody should be approved for those credit cards, but they're still sending them out. I have a friend who is not a citizen, right? They're working on their citizenship in America, and they're still getting mail offering credit cards when they technically can't even have a credit card because they're not a citizen, right? And they're still getting multiple pieces of mail offering them credit cards, right? Yeah, everyone out here getting an email from their bank about building or getting their credit. Exactly. So they send out billions. So their marketing strategy is huge, right? Like, they're marketing credit to you, and credit is not, like, there's obviously good uses for credit, but the practices of these industries, which are, yeah, somebody said scam. Yeah, literally Kevin Trudeau calls it a scam, but the practices of these industries, right, are literally a stamp of approval by the government. And they're designed to make sure that you're late on your monthly payments, to make sure that you go over the limit in your credit cards, to make sure that the fees continue to go up and up and up and up. And it's crazy because I remember talking about credit, like how to use your credit cards. I didn't even know how to really use a credit card until I was an adult. I think I was like 25 when I first learned how to actually use a credit card. I was paying off my credit card every week or every 2 weeks. I didn't know. I was just like, oh, I see a balance that we paid off. Like, because my parents always taught me don't have a balance. Like, don't have a balance on your credit card. So I always just thought, okay, every week, every 2 weeks, pay off my credit card. And I didn't know that that wasn't building my credit. Right? I don't know if you guys knew, but let's say you have the month of, let's say January, January 1st to January 30th, right? That's your month where you're spending your money. And then you have until, let's say, the 20th or the 25th to pay off your balance, February, right? You can start paying off your balance in like February 5th to February 25th, something like that, right? If you pay your balance early, before January 30th, you don't build your credit, even though you borrowed money and you paid it back. Hold on, I'm getting a phone call. I'm going to put on D&D. Sorry, I got a phone call. So you're borrowing money, you're paying it back, and it's still not building your credit. Right? If you pay early, you don't build your credit. If you pay late, you get massive interest fees. So you have to literally, so they almost want you, because like, think about the average person who may not have the best relationship with money, and they have the money to pay off the card right now, but they're waiting 2 or 3 weeks because they have to pay it off within this specific period. What if within those 2 or 3 weeks, things happen, or they got to spend their money or something, or like, you know what I mean? Like, they're mentally just, the relationship with money is like, if they see it in the bank, they feel like they can spend it, right? So they almost know that, right? So they're kind of making the platform in this way where you delay the payments. And I realized that after, can you guys hear me? Am I lagging? I'm good. Okay. Yeah. So if you pay, I'm just reading some of the comments. If you pay it, they won't report it and it doesn't help you. They want to see that you need them. I worked for the bank for 7 years. It's definitely a scam. And don't spend more than 33% of the allowed balance, right? So these things are designed in this way. And I didn't even know how to use a credit card until I was 25. I was declining any increase in my credit balance. Like, I had a $1,000 credit card until I was like 25. Like, I'm not even joking. Because $1,000 limit. Because I always thought, oh, like if they're, my parents always taught me like credit cards are not good, like all these things. And I always thought they would always offer for me to increase my limit. I'm like, no, don't increase my limit. Cause I don't think y'all are trying to scam me. So I would always reject it. Right. And I literally didn't know until I spoke to a friend who was an accountant that said, no, you're supposed to increase your limit, right? You're supposed to increase your limit so that you have a smaller balance, right? Just like she said, you don't want to spend more than 33% of the allowed balance. So the bigger your balance is, the smaller percentage. But if you know yourself and you know that you don't have a healthy relationship with it, then of course you don't want to do that. So now I've just been saying yes. And my credit's increased like crazy, right? I have like probably all together with all my cards, like 70, 80 grand or something in credit card, like allowance. Of course I don't use it, but that's what's there. And that's a scary thought if you really think about it. Like the fact that I could literally spend 60K on a credit card, like in the next few days, if I wanted to, like, that's kind of crazy, right? Like that's literally kind of crazy, but the whole system, someone said the whole credit card system is a paradox where you have to have debt in order to be approved to take out more money and have even more debt, right? So what Kevin Trudeau was saying, guys, is he has no problems with companies making a profit, right? He has no problems with that. There's nothing wrong with a company being profitable. That's what companies are made for, right? But the insiders that talk about like because he's obviously in the inner circle. He's met bank owners and credit card company owners and people that work in these industries. And they even talk about how they even say that it's obscene profits, right? Obscene profits. The insiders say that, and how they're preying on hardworking bill-paying citizens. The American credit card industry earns $30 billion every single year in profits, and they want more. $30 billion. And anybody who has a credit card is affected, which is why I'm even doing this call. Anybody who has a credit card should know, because it doesn't matter how low your income is, or if you're middle class, or if you're prestigious, or whatever your income is, if you're high class, right? It doesn't matter, because everybody uses credit cards. So they, these credit card industries and these lenders, they don't want you to know the rules. And this is why they named Kevin Trudeau the most daring whistleblower of all time. So back in the day, lending practices actually used to be really fair. They used to have fair lending practices, and a banker was considered a trusted partner in business and in life. A person back in the day could get an overdraft simply by asking their bank for it for free. It was considered like a free courtesy that was granted to anybody who was a good customer. That was the fair practices. Back in the day, there used to be a 30-day free grace period to pay your balances. That was the standard. And then somewhere along the way, greed got in the way, and fairness just went out of the picture, went out of fashion. Because when's the last time you hear free or courtesy at the bank? Not very often, right? Whereas those things used to be standard practice. And he says that consumer lending, credit card, these credit card companies and the federal government are basically in bed together, right? Basically in bed together. The federal government pretends like they're trying to do something about it, but they're not. So what the federal government did is they set limitations for how much interest can be charged on your card, right? Limits. Finding a card right now under like 14% is like not even possible, like a credit card, right? Most credit cards are 18, 19, 20, 21, 22% interest. That's insane. And that's crazy. Y'all get how crazy that is? So there was a laws passed to limit how much interest these companies are allowed to charge, right? So what the banks did, and he talks about this in the book in detail, is because they could only limit how much interest they're charging, what they would do is they would charge other fees, and they would give them different names for these fees, where basically they're just getting more interest, but they're naming it something else. They're charging fees for little things that you're doing and making up all these different fees to get more money out of you. And then that money, if you don't pay it right away, is also goes under the interest rate. So that's how they're pulling out more money than is technically legal, because the fees aren't regulated. It's only the interest that's regulated. They can have as many fees as they want, as often as they want. And what he talks about in this book, how now it's so normalized that like you literally just, like we all accept it. Like we've just normalized that this is what it is. Like this is how it works. We've all accepted it. And we just think it's normal. And I think one of the biggest things that I got from this book, and like, I don't want to say that I was judgmental. I wasn't judgmental, like clearly, because I sought out this book from compassion, but it did give me more compassion. Because when you first think, like, if you don't know their story, and you first think of like somebody who's in debt, your initial thought, or at least mine was, your initial thought is that, oh, they must have spent foolishly. Like they must have spent lavishly, and like weren't, didn't learn proper financial literacy, and just like we're spending their money on like all sorts of things, right? We're overspending, we're buying things that they can't afford. That may be like your first thought. But this book made me just have so much compassion, because it made me realize that that's typically not the case. And even though I know people in circumstances where that wasn't the case, like, I don't know, like you're just made to believe that it's all yours. Like it's your problem. If you have debt, if you created credit card debt, it's your problem. So I just started thinking like that. But this book made me have so much more compassion, because it talked about how people who are in debt are typically in debt because of some situation that happened to them, right? They're not in debt because they spent like crazy. They're usually hardworking. Yes, it is on Audible. Right? They're usually people who are hardworking that have some sort of situation happen to them, whether they lose their job or they have a medical issue. Or I was watching a YouTube review of the book, and this guy said that he never had debt before, but his dog had to get an emergency surgery. And obviously he loves his dog, so he spent a lot of money on that. On that, he put on his credit card because he didn't have the money, and that's what put him in debt. And he's been paying off the debt for a year, right? I've met people even here, like in grocery stores, that work in grocery stores. I remember meeting this man who had to have an emergency surgery on his eye, and he was in like over $40,000 of debt that he was paying, and he's working a regular job. And another thing that Samar pointed out, I was talking to Samar about this last night, and she pointed out, like, but she's like, that's really, that's what you thought? Like, that's you, like, that people were just spending like frivolously? She's like, babe, you do realize. And I just never connected the two. Like, I know, but I just never connected the two. And she's like, you do realize that most people don't make enough money to live. And I'm like, you're so right. Most people are not making enough money to live. And this is kind of their only option for, again, I'm not saying it's good, like it's okay, like you should go out and use all your credit cards. I'm just saying that if you're in this situation, or if you know somebody who is, like, I just want to share that compassionate side for you. If you are in the situation, to like not be so hard on yourself, to know that you fell under this predatory system, but to also understand that if you really go back and look at your credit card statements, like most of the, and this is what Kevin Trudeau was saying, most credit card debt is accumulated when there's like a job loss or a death in the family or a medical illness or a divorce or a car breaking down, something that happens. And that something could happen to every single one of us. That situation could happen to every single one of us. And if you actually look at the statements, it's most likely food. It's most likely the grocery store. It's most likely gas. It's most likely regular things that we use on a daily basis to survive, to live. It's not yachts and expensive trips. And I mean, for some people, I'm sure it is, but for the majority of people that are living in debt, it's they're just trying to live, right? And then they are in this predatory system. And he gave this example, right? He gave this example in the book that I thought was just like so interesting. And he said, okay, there was this guy, this average guy. Hold on, let me read the comment first. Plus, when you pay off a credit line, like a student loan, your credit score goes down, not up, because you just eliminated a credit line. This is what I'm facing if my student loans are forgiven in the US. Unlikely due to SCOTUS though. Wow, that's wild, right? The emergency funds, exactly. Okay, so listen to this story because I thought it was so interesting slash funny, okay? So basically there's this average guy, okay? There's this average guy, his name was like Hale His Beckham or something like that, okay? And he owned a karate school. And in March 2005, he used his credit card to pay for his lunch, which was $12, okay? He used his credit card to pay for his lunch. Unknowing that $12 charge would put him over the credit limit by $1.91. So he had a credit limit and he went over that credit limit by $1.91. Mind you, his credit card is not high. I think the limit was like 700 bucks or something like that, right? So the bank approved it, right? That's the first red flag, okay? If the bank was legitimate, they wouldn't be approving something that is over your limit. They would decline it, right? They would decline the payment so it doesn't go through, because he didn't even realize. He just swiped the card and he didn't even realize that it was going over his credit limit. And basically the bank approved it. The order went through, but the bank didn't decline it, because banks want you to go over. Because guess what happens when you go over? They can charge you over limit fees, right? Which is interest that they weren't legally allowed to charge before. But because you went over the limit, now there's an over limit fee. And now they can charge you that. So he spent $12 on his lunch. He went over by $1.91. So technically $1.91 was his mistake. And he got a $35 charge for going over his credit limit. Okay, he was fine with a $35 charge on the credit card. that month he paid the minimum amount. He paid the minimum payment that was set out in the credit card. And that minimum payment he paid the minimum payment and he didn't use the card again the entire month because he knew he was like over or whatever, right? So he didn't use the card again. That happened to me over a 200 euro. That's true. The bank won't work for that. Yep. So he paid the minimum payment and he didn't use the card again. So that minimum payment didn't bring his credit below the credit limit. So next month, he got charged another fee of being over the limit of $35 because he paid the minimum and the minimum didn't bring him down below the credit limit. Which it makes no sense. Like if anything, if you're the bank, you're gonna make the minimum payment like enough to put you below, right? But no, the bank wants you to be over because then guess what? They get to charge another $35 fee, right? So he called the bank and complained and nothing could be done. The bank teller basically told him nothing could be done and he should only apply for a higher credit limit so that this situation wouldn't happen. So the next bill, right, he still hadn't paid off. Like he paid the minimum, I think, again. He hadn't paid off the initial $35. So he got another $35 because he didn't pay the second $35. So for $1.91 going over, he now has $105 in fees. What percentage is that? What percentage interest is that? Because what fees are is really hidden interest. A ludicrous, is it 350? I didn't do the math, right? It's not even $12 lunch because it's $1.91 that he was over. So it's $2, right? So on $2, $105 in fees, what percentage is that? I think it's even more. It's crazy. It's not even a legal percentage. It doesn't make sense, right? So what he did, right? And this is kind of funny. He paid off his entire balance, right? His total balance came up to $799.19. So he sent the bank a check for $800. And I'm like back in the day, by the way, you could also pay your credit card in checks. Right now it's not really as common, but another key thing, like interesting thing to note that they said in the book is that they actually wanted you to pay in check so that it would be delayed. Right? Because if it came in late, then guess what? They get to charge you a late fee, right? And when they started introducing online payments, it wasn't as smooth as it was now. So what they would do is conveniently on the day that you're supposed to pay, the online system would go down and they would have to actually, or the phone lines would be down. So they would have to send in a check. So guess what? If they sent in a check, if it was on the last day, the check would be received late. And that used to happen apparently all the time back in the day, right? So it's crazy because like they want you to be late because then they can charge you extra fees and you're going to pay them because you just think it's normal, right? So he sent the bank $800 for his balance of $799.19, okay? And he closed this account. He closed the credit card. And he wanted to treat them the way that they treated us. So what did he do? I thought this was freaking hilarious, okay? He wrote them a letter and he said that in the letter he said, I'm requesting a refund of 81 cents, right? Because he overpaid. I'm requesting a refund of 81 cents. You owe me 81 cents. And he even said in the letter, I prefer that you send a certified check or a money order because you have no credit history with me and you don't have any references. Said that to the bank. And if there is any references, feel free to email them or send them back or whatever, right? So he's telling the bank, you got no credit history with me. It was freaking hilarious, right? And I want my 81 cents. And then he said, if payment was not received, and he wrote it all professionally, I don't remember the exact words, but he read it out in the book, but he said, if payment was not received within 25 days, then a late fee of $105 would be charged. And I was like, yo, this is hilarious, right? Okay, so if you don't pay me my 81 cents within 25 days, a late fee is going to be charged, and you better send a certified check because I don't know you like that. Okay? And the bank said, the book is called Debt Cures. And the bank said that they would refund the overpayment, right? They would refund the overpayment, so the 81 cents, and they would refund him $70 in late fees or over limit fees, but they didn't end up doing it within 25 days, which is exactly how much the customer gets. So even the bank couldn't do what they're asking you to do. Within 25 days, they couldn't pay the man 81 cents. Right? So he sent them another letter and he said that he would charge them a finance fee of 20% for every month that they were delinquent on their payment. So now they got the 81 cents and $105 fee, and he's going to charge them 20% every single month until they pay. And he apparently sent them statements every single month. Now, I heard he got some portion of the money back. I don't know. Even Kevin Chanel, he's like, I don't know where this man is, but this man's a legend. He's like, I don't know if he ever got his money. I don't know if he's still persisting. This article was written in October 2005, but he just gave it as an example because doesn't that show you how ridiculous the bank is? Like, doesn't that show you how ridiculous they are? When you do it the other way around, it shows you how ridiculous it is. But because we typically receive it from the bank, it's so normalized. We just think it's normal. We're just used to it. Right? So I just thought that was so, I was like, this is hilarious. This guy's a freaking G, okay? He said, run me my 81 cents, okay? Right? But we get exactly, we think it's normal and we get scared because that's what they've marketed this to believe that it's all our fault when it's ludicrous. Like you could get, $1,000 credit card and spend the money and, you know, have a situation happen, not be able to pay it back. All of a sudden it's $3,000, $4,000. You're paying more money in fees, not just double, but triple, quadruple than what you actually spent. That's criminal. That's not logical. And this is exactly the issue that I see with the people that are in debt. Like when you're looking at these minimum payments, if they pay the minimum payment, they are going to be paying that for the rest of their life. Isn't that crazy? If you pay the minimum recommended payment, your debt is going to grow. That's the crazy part. If you have debt that's like 60, 70, 80K or more, 100K, your debt is growing like a full-time income every single month. Your debt is growing, like depending on your cards and stuff, but it's growing anywhere from $2,000, $3,000 a month. That's great. That's literally insane. How is a person supposed to keep, how is a regular person supposed to keep up with that? And that's the part that he talks about is criminal, right? Because even if you just pay the minimum payment alone, your balance will literally grow exponentially. Y'all know whoever's on the team, we talk about compound interest, right? How you can make money out of your money. And how cool it is, how much money you can make. Well, Einstein always said, compounding is the eighth wonder of the world. And those who know it, those will know who know it will earn it, and those who don't will pay it. And that's exactly what this credit card debt is, because it grows, like it's actually criminal that how fast it grows. It's ridiculous because you're getting interest on your interest. It'd be one thing to just get interest on your balance, but now you're getting interest on your interest. Exactly. Someone said you have to be really good with your money management to make it work in your favor. I'm not telling you delete all your credit cards and all these things, but I'm just explaining to you how they work, right? The only good thing about debt is that it's tax-free, where they're giving you the invisible tax. Yes, but that depends on the interest rates. corrupt. Also, when someone turns 18, I'm reading the comments, when someone turns 18, they automatically get sent a card. They should have taken a course in how a credit card works and teach them about compound interest. Exactly. And even it gave an example of that in the book, somebody else said, my little sister received a $3,000 credit card and doesn't even work like that. Exactly. And they talked about that in the book, that there was this girl who turned 18 and received all these credit cards in the mail, and she took them. And by 21, she was like, her car was impounded, and she was like, she was like 40 or 50K in debt by 21, right? Because nobody taught her how to use this, right? And so that's exactly why they talk about how it's predatory. So again, there's nothing wrong with the bank making a profit. There's nothing wrong with the companies making a profit. We have nothing against that. Like, it's business. But when does it become criminal? When does it become greed, right? And that's exactly what they're talking about here. So another thing that they said is, so I told you guys, I said that the consumer lending and the federal government are in bed together, and that the lending institutions are predators and they prey on innocent, hardworking, bill-paying individuals, the ones that they know are gonna continue to pay that bill for the rest of their life. And the American, I talked about that, they make $30 billion every single year, the American credit card industry. I talked about that already. And another crazy thing is that America's credit card use is greater than the rest of the entire world combined. If that doesn't tell you something about like the nature of the industry here and the culture and the way that they've marketed, America uses credit cards more than the rest of the entire world combined. That's wild. In some places, credit cards are not even common. Like right now we have Leticia on our team who's expanding in Africa, right? And literally is most people there don't even have credit card. Well, in the country that she's in, right? The countries that she's in, they don't even have credit cards. Like, it's not common. And when they do get credit cards, it's those prepaid ones, right? Now, not saying that this can happen even in some wealthier places, right? It's just the culture is different. Whereas here, the culture is very predatory and it's used so easily. And he also says that out of all of the American industries, there's no industry that draws a higher profit than the credit card industry. Right? None. It is the most profitable industry in the, like, obviously the, only the owners benefit, but it's the most profitable industry in America. Right? So that's what they're talking about. And the reason why they go into this book, and I'm not going to go into all of that, but if you are in debt, I highly recommend that you read this book, because there's strategies in there that can teach you basically how you can lower your debt. If you're in collections, there's really, really a good strategy about how some of that collections debt can actually completely disappear, or how you can negotiate it. But you have to read the book to understand the rules. I'm still not done. I think I'm like one third of the way through, but already I'm just like finding like some of the things, and I'm like, yo, is this really work? Like, do these things really work? Like I'm gonna see if I can get some people to test it. But like, it really sounds cool, because if you know the law, then you'll know how to kind of use it to your advantage, right? And if you are somebody who is in debt, the book is called Debt Cures. I hope that this, like, just relieve some of the stress and the, how do I say it? Like, of course we have to take ownership for the decisions we've made in our life, but understand that you're in a predatory system, and to not put so much shame on yourself. Cause I know like it can feel overwhelming, and it can feel like you, like anxiety. Exactly. It can feel like you messed up, or like you didn't do a good job, or whatever the case may be, but understand that majority of people are in debt to some degree, right? And that the system was just wired for that to happen to us, right? And even though you want to take control of it and take responsibility and be proactive and find solutions, also don't be so hard on yourself if you are in a situation like that. And that's one of the, I think, biggest things I got from the book, is just compassion, right? Compassion for people. Not that I didn't have it, but like even more. That now my first thought when somebody is in credit card debt is not they spend frivolously, but it's like, oh, like they something probably happened that put them in the situation where they needed this money. And like Samar said the other day, most people are not even making enough to make ends meet. They're not. And that's kind of like their only option to eat, right? or to buy diapers or to buy regular things. So I thought this book was profound. I hope you guys learned something. I love learning new things like this, even though it wasn't necessarily a mindset call. I still love learning stuff like this because I think that the more that we know about the world around us, it's more exciting, it's more empowering, and it's a good conversation starter, right? It's a good, like I want to find even, I want to finish the book so I can support the people that are around me and just have this knowledge in my tool belt. I think that it's powerful. So I hope you guys enjoyed the call. And if you are in debt or know somebody that is in debt, I highly recommend that you guys read the book. And yeah, I hope you guys learned some stuff from today. Oh, Dee said she would love more skill-based calls. I love that. Okay, awesome. Yeah. I like teaching on different things because that's how, like, I just like learning about different things. I find it interesting. And I find the more that you know about different aspects of life, the more powerful you are, right? So I'm going to end the call there. If you're listening on Wake Up with WFAB podcast, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you. And I hope you have a beautiful, beautiful Thursday.